Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to take this moment and invite you guys to something that I am so excited about. I am hosting a completely free live training on March 1st at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all around how to become a profitable virtual assistant. This training is going to be packed with as much value as possible as I can provide you in less than an hour. If you have been wondering how to craft your irresistible offer without needing to learn a ton of new tech skills, how to attract dream clients using my personal profitable virtual assistant blueprint, and how to land high-paying dream clients without a fancy website or large social media following so that you can start making full-time consistent income online, then I want you to go ahead and grab your seat at thevirtualassistantstudio.com/free training. Again, that's thevirtualassistantstudio.com/free training. Even if you can't make it live, I want you to go ahead and register because one, I will be sending out a replay of the class once it's complete, and two, anybody that signs up is going to be getting an extra special free bonus from yours truly directly to your inbox once the training is complete. I really don't want you guys to miss out on this. In full transparency, I am counting down the days until baby number two shows up. We are officially on high alert watch. So I probably won't be doing another free training like this until the later half of this year. And I don't want you guys to miss out on this insanely valuable offer. So again, that address is thevirtualassistantstudio.com/free training. It's going to be so much fun to be able to hang out with you guys for an hour on a Tuesday afternoon. Grab your coffee. If it was in the evening, I would say grab your wine and bring your pens and pencils because it is going to be so fun. I am also going to be doing a live Q&A at the end. So if there's any questions that you have or something that's been sitting on your mind that you just want to pick my brain about, it is a perfect time to get a free little mini coaching session from yours truly. I am so excited. It's going to be so fun, and I hope to see you there. I am so excited for you guys to listen in on today's episode, our very first guest episode here on the Bold Business Podcast. And I thought it was only fitting that for our very first guest episode, we had on one of our virtual assistant studio students. Her name is Megan Ludwig, and you guys are going to love this interview. This episode is jam-packed with so many golden nuggets. I feel like you guys are going to have so many moments where you want to hit pause and rewind. Megan took the Virtual Assistant Studio course back in 2021 and within just a few weeks was able to implement all of the strategies within each of the modules and build her own profitable virtual assistant business. Now she is balancing mom life with CEO life, and in her business, she helps mindset coaches tap into the power of their content creation through strategy, optimization, and repurposing. And today we're going to dive into what content repurposing is, how to show up as your authentic self, and how to balance that juggle between mom life and CEO life. And I have a feeling you guys are going to love this episode. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive on in. Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Megan, welcome to the Bold Business Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today. For those of you who don't know Megan, I want her to introduce herself because she is seriously amazing and you guys are going to love her.
Thanks so much, Amanda. I'm Megan Ludwig. I run Megan Ludwig Digital Media. On the personal side, I'm a mom to two little girls. I have a one-year-old and a four-year-old. And then on the business side, I work with mindset coaches. I help them tap into the power of their content through strategy, optimization, and repurposing.
Okay, all my favorite things right there. So tell us a little bit about how you got started in your business and dive into, because I feel like Megan has a really interesting history, you guys. She started out as a TV reporter, and now she owns her own online business. And I want her to tell you guys about how she got from being a TV reporter to owning her own online business and what that story looked like.
It is a story that has a lot of different twists, and on the surface, you would think is totally unrelated. But looking back, it's really cool to see how each of those different twists and turns have played a role in where I am now. So I have, for the longest time, ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a reporter and an anchor. I used to watch the Today Show with my mom when I was growing up, and that was always the goal. I went to college, got a degree in broadcasting, got my first job in news, and I hated it. I hated the stories that I was telling. I hated the hours I was working. I hated the fact that in order to advance in my career, I was going to have to move every 2 to 3 years into a new market and basically start my life over again every 2 to 3 years. And so I was like, wow, this is not what I want. And so I left the news business pretty shortly after entering the news business. And honestly, I felt really lost and I struggled a lot after that because I had never thought of anything else besides that career path. But after I left news, I landed a job managing projects for a personality assessment company. While I was working there, I got my MBA and I just learned a ton. I fell in love with processes and automation and just how to make a project flow really well from start to finish, and how having those proper processes in place just really makes life a lot easier. And so I was there in the personality space for 8.5 years up until the point where my second daughter was born. And then once she was born, I was like, okay, I'm going to leave the working world behind. I'm going to stay home with my girls, be a stay-at-home mom. And I was really, really looking forward to that. And about 2 months into being home full-time with the girls, I started getting restless. And the problem was, I really do love being home with my girls, but I was feeling like I was missing a piece of myself. So I knew I didn't want to go back to working full time. I didn't want to put my kids in daycare. I didn't want to have to work normal hours. So there were all of these criteria that I had around what a working mom could look like for me.
I just want to commend you because I feel like so many people wouldn't have the courage to walk away from a job and a career that they love and pivot into something new. And you did that twice. You did that going from being a TV reporter and in the media industry into working for the personality assessment, which I kind of want to dive into because I feel like personality assessments and understanding that is a really unique skill to have. And I'm sure that comes in handy today in your own business, and then pivoting from there, going into being a stay-at-home mom, and then realizing, okay, I still have this fiery passion in me. I really want to do something, but I want to be able to define it on my own terms. And I just think that that's so cool.
Yeah, defining it on my own terms was really key for me because I knew I wanted to have some kind of professional outlet, but I didn't, like I said, I didn't want to have to go the childcare route and the 9-to-5 route. And so I just kind of looked at all of my criteria of things that I did not want in a career or in a job. And I said, all right, well, in order to get this, you're just going to have to start it. You're just going to have to do it yourself because you have a lot of parameters that you want to be working around.
So when you made that decision, how long of a timeline from making that decision to where you are today, what did that process look like for you?
So I thought about it for a few months and then I overthought about it for a few more months.
Yep, been there.
And then, so probably the initial thought of, I know I want to be doing something, was probably around November or December of 2020. And then finally, in the summer of 2021, I said, okay, enough thinking. Just do it. Just start it and see what happens. Because you talked about, you know, the personality space and really understanding that. I really understand that I am an overthinker and that I overanalyze everything. And so I will dwell on a decision for a really, really long time. And sometimes I get stuck and I don't make a decision. And so finally, I just got to a point where I was like, look, you are in that cycle of just thinking and thinking and thinking. And you just need to push yourself off this cliff or you're just going to continue to think.
Yes. Okay. Well, first of all, I think you and I have that in common because I definitely have decision fatigue pretty often. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where you overthink it so much that, like you said, you just can't even make any decision. So how did you push yourself to overcome that and say, okay, we're going to do this?
Honestly, I just was thinking to myself, okay, if I get started, what is the worst thing that could happen? The worst thing. And the worst thing that I could think of is that, you know, maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe I don't find clients. Maybe, you know, maybe I spend some time and some effort and it turns out to be not the path that I want to go down. But really, if that's the worst that could happen, that's not that bad.
I love that you asked yourself this question because I find that I ask myself this question a lot too. Like, okay, worst case scenario, what's going to happen? Like, let's say that we lose the business tomorrow. Okay, worst case scenario, we update that resume and we just get back out there. I think a lot of times people are afraid to take that leap because they create all these horrible scenarios in their head. But I think for those people that are having that decision fatigue and who are afraid, really asking themselves, okay, what's the worst that can happen? And then making an action plan around that, I feel like it's almost a safety net. And then it gives you permission to go ahead and take the leap and make that decision, which I'm sure looking back, you're like, gosh, I wish I would have made that sooner.
Yeah. I mean, I hear people say that all the time, you know, just start scared. You know, you'll think back and think, oh, I wish I would have started sooner. And I remember hearing that and being like, okay, right. That's, that's what you're saying because you're way on the other side of this. But in reality, it's true. The amount of time that I thought about this, I could be several months ahead of where I am right now in my business if I would have just started sooner instead of thinking about it for several more months than I needed to think about it.
Yes, totally. I think we've all been there, but also at the same time, I think that's part of the process. Okay, so you made the leap, and how did you get from deciding, okay, I'm going to do this thing, to niching down into content creation and really developing the business that you have today?
When I started out, I did start offering just general VA kind of work, which I think is a great place for people to start if they don't have a good idea of where they want to go, where they want to take their business, what kind of work they want to do, try different things. That's what I did. I tried several different things, quickly realized I was enjoying the content work that I was doing. I was not enjoying the admin work that I was doing. And so I niched down into content. And then even further from there, I was realizing what I was really enjoying the most was content repurposing. And I think that this kind of plays back into my days in news, my days as a reporter, because when you're a reporter, you are telling somebody else's story. Your job is not to be part of the story. Your job is to tell someone else's story. And I feel like it's the same thing with content repurposing, because I am taking what you have already done. I am taking your ideas, your words, and I'm just spreading it to create a larger message and to create additional pieces of content that hit different audiences.
Yes. Okay. So I love that you first off started with general VA services, because I think you're right. I think that's such a good place to start if you aren't exactly sure what you want to do or who you want to support or serve. But it's so interesting to me that, to your point, really your background played a huge role in the services that you ended up being able to provide literally today, which is so cool because you were able to take your existing skill set of repurposing and telling other people's stories and weave that into something that lit you up and makes you excited. And you're like, okay, this feels right. This is in alignment. I don't dread working, which is the whole point of when we start our own business. Like, we should enjoy the work that we're doing. And I love that you were able to recognize quickly too, okay, the admin stuff, not exactly lighting me up so much, but this content creation, yes, that is lighting my soul on fire. I think sometimes it can be hard to niche down in the beginning because we want to say yes to everybody. And of course, we're like, okay, people want to pay me for my services. Yes, I will do anything that you want me to do. And then saying no to certain things so that we can say yes to other things can sometimes be challenging in the beginning. I'd love to hear your take on what that transition looked like when you did decide to niche down and how you were really able to target who your ideal client was.
As far as niching down my service, it was really just figuring out what I was enjoying and what I wasn't, and then just stopping offering the services that I didn't enjoy. And that's one of the great things about having your own business is you don't have to offer something that you don't like doing just because you think, you know, oh, I should be offering this. No, if you don't like it, you shouldn't be offering it. And so from that perspective, it was just a little bit of soul searching and figuring out what it was that I was enjoying in my work. And then from figuring out my target audience, this will bring in the personality assessment days that I spent working there, because what I really learned from personality and from coaches that I worked with side by side for different assessment projects, I really learned how much your mind, how much the narrative that you tell yourself plays into how you behave, what you do in and with your life. It can propel you forward. It can hold you back. That narrative is really, really powerful. And I 100% believe that. And so when I was starting to think about who do I want to work with, that's what came to me as something that I felt was really important and really something that I have seen in both my personal life and my business life. And I just really wanted to work with other women who wanted to help other women in that way.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. We have the same mission here at the Virtual Assistant Studio. Just being able to support and uplift other women is literally at the core of everything that we do. So can you tell me, if you don't mind, a little bit about if one's looking to improve that inner narrative of what they're telling themselves, do you have any tips and tricks around that? Because I feel like you've been in the industry and you work with a lot of coaches, I feel like you might have some insight if somebody's struggling with that inner narrative, maybe one or two things that they could do to help, like you said, propel themselves forward.
I think we tell ourselves a lot of stories and a lot of lies. And I think one really great place to start is when you're having a thought that says, I can't do XYZ, to just pause and think, okay, is this fact or is this something that I'm telling myself because I'm scared? Is there evidence to support that I legitimately cannot do X, Y, or Z? Or is this because I have never done it before, or I just can't picture myself doing this? So really kind of getting to the root of that feeling of not being able to do something or not being able to be successful at something. Is that fact or is that something that you're telling yourself? And I also just think, you know, really digging into why you're doing something can really help with clarity in the process as you're working through something yourself. So, you know, if you're building your business, why are you building your business? You're doing it more than, you know, just to make some money. There is a deeper why behind that. And I think when you really tap into why you're doing something, it really makes those hard things that may still be hard, but it makes them easier to do, easier to push through, because you have kind of a mission behind it and you know the reason that you're doing these things.
I couldn't agree more. It's so interesting how so many of our decisions, or even lack thereof, are rooted in fear. And it's interesting because fear is so elusive and it's something that we create in our mind, and yet we like let it dictate so many of, like you said, the stories and maybe even lies that we tell ourselves of why we can or can't do something. But I love what you said about really rooting yourself in your why and coming back to that, because your why is never going to be fear-based. It's always going to be something that lights you up and should hopefully make you excited. And I think letting that guide your decisions is just so smart. So thank you for that insight.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So I want to circle back a little bit to content repurposing. Let's say somebody has never heard of content repurposing, but they're like, okay, this sounds intriguing. I want to repurpose my content. That sounds exciting. One of the things that you're really great about is taking, let's say, 4 pieces of content and turning it into 32 pieces of content. What does this process really look like and why is it beneficial?
Great, great question. Okay, I could talk about this for the next half hour. So I will try to condense it and make it a reasonable amount of conversation around this. So content repurposing is a strategy that focuses on getting the maximum return from the content you create. Okay, I'm going to say that again.
Oh, yes, please.
It is a strategy that focuses on getting the maximum return for the content that you create. So basically, it is a way to work smarter, not harder, because you aren't churning out fresh content on every single platform every time you go to push something out. When we're taking, like you said, 4 pieces of content and turning it into 32, basically what we're doing is we're starting with 1 piece of pillar content. So this pillar content is where you are going to spend 80% of your time, 80% of your energy, and 80% of your focus. This is what's going to be that fresh piece of content. For my business, a lot of the time, this is a piece of audio or video content. So a Facebook Live, an IG Live, a short podcast, a YouTube video, something like that. And that is what you're going to focus on creating. From there, you're going to create some other avenues based off of that piece of pillar content. So let's use your podcast as an example.
Okay.
You have an episode called Auditing Your Business and Life for Success. So that is where you put your energy and your focus. And then from there, what we could do is we could take that podcast episode, we can create a search engine optimized blog post. So we're not talking about a transcript. We're talking about a blog post that's formatted, that is keyword optimized, and it's written for a reader rather than a listener. Then what we could do is we could take that and create an email newsletter. So we could either use that email newsletter to tease your podcast episode, or we could tease the blog post, and we can drive them back to one of those two channels from that email newsletter. All right, so now we're up to three pieces of content: the original podcast, the blog post, the email newsletter. Then obviously we're going to want some social media content. So we can create social media captions. We can create accompanying social media graphics. Usually I create about 4 social media captions and 2 graphics off of that. So we're now up to, math here.
We're now up to, I think we're at like almost 10. Holy cow.
So we've got the podcast, we've got the blog, we've got the email newsletter. We have 4 social media captions and 2 graphics. So we're at 9 pieces of content. And if you do that 4 times throughout the month, so once for every week, you get into, you know, that would be 36 pieces of content.
Even more than 32. I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. And what I love about this strategy too is it really doesn't require you to do that much more work because the piece of content's already there. So it's not like I'm like having to come up with a brand new podcast episode and a whole new topic and script and recording and all of that. What Megan's able to do is really take that one, like she said, pillar piece of content, and then just spread it across all these other channels. And I find this so interesting that people don't do this because, and Megan, I'm sure you can like preach about this all day long, your audience is, there's no way they're on every platform. Like someone who listens to podcasts is probably not going to be the same person that reads a long form blog post. And that's exactly what you want because you're able to reach more audience by putting that piece of content in all these different places. And I'm sure you can speak to this too.
And that really is the whole point behind it, is you're able to have a much bigger reach with your one idea than if you just, you know, created one podcast episode and that's all you did with it, or you created one blog post and that's all you did with it. By having it across multiple channels, you're reaching different people, you're getting more eyeballs on your content. And that should be everybody's goal, you know, get as many people to see your content as you can, because that only helps your business.
Yes. And then too, I feel like when it comes to the marketing side of things, when you're thinking about promoting it, you're able to market that same piece of content in so many different ways. So a lot of times people will mention something on Instagram stories once and then check off their little marketing box and they're like, oh, I promoted it, it's done. But with this method, you're able to say, you know, on Monday, hey, go check out the podcast. On Wednesday, hey, are you signed up for my newsletter? Because there's an email in your inbox. And then Thursday, you can share the social media post. And then Friday, you're able to say, hey, we've got this new blog post up. And even though it's similar content, you're able to promote it in so many different ways that people a lot of times don't even realize that you're pulling from like the same one pillar content, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, really even within social media posts on its own, your episode of your podcast, you're going to have multiple takeaways from just that one podcast. And so, you know, the social media content doesn't even need to be, you know, go check out the podcast. That can certainly be one of the pieces of content, and I would definitely recommend that. But you can also then pull those individual takeaways and create standalone social media posts based off of those individual takeaways from that one podcast that doesn't ever, you know, link back to the podcast, doesn't mention it, but you've created another way for somebody to consume that content without even telling them, you know, here's the source, or here, you know, go back and listen to this. They're just taking that one takeaway from that original piece of content and they're getting value from that.
Yes. And I think a lot of times you'll see, if you pop over to, you know, Instagram or Facebook, and you'll see these gurus talking about, I created 30 days of social media posts in 1 hour. And you, have you ever thought to yourself, like, what? Like, in 1 hour? Like, that's crazy. But this is exactly what they're doing. To your point, it's not just saying, hey, go check out my podcast. Yes, that's great. You should probably do that. You should probably tell people to go check out your podcast. But they're pulling from that one pillar content, or two or three or four, probably, if they're doing a whole month's worth. And they're pulling out all the little golden nuggets. Because you have to think, if you're cross promoting something on social media, you want it to be bite-sized anyways. Because the person that's on social media is there for like a quick short win. Like, they want to be instantly hit, and then they want to like move on from whatever it is that they're looking at, whether it's a static post or a story or a reel or whatever. So giving them that nugget in a short form is exactly what they want, but you're not actually doing more work, which is super smart too when it comes to content repurposing, because you're able, I'm sure, to batch a lot of this. And maybe you could talk a little bit about what your workday structure looks like, of how you go about doing this for some of your clients while also having your sweet little babies at home with you.
Oh boy. Let me say that no 2 days really look exactly the same, because like you said, I am home with my girls, but that's exactly what I wanted my business to look like. And it's exactly why I chose services that did not require me to work during certain times of the day or needed to be done on certain days of the week. I have found that I need to dedicate certain hours of my day to my business and certain hours of my day to my kids. I cannot really overlap them very well. When I have tried to pull out the laptop to get some work done while my kids are playing around me, that's when I work slower, and that's when I get more frustrated with them. So for me, I really have to keep my two lanes pretty separate, which means I have to carve out time when they're either asleep or they're doing quiet time or nap time. And so I start my day, my alarm goes off at 4:45 in the morning. And by 5 a.m., I've got my coffee, I'm at my computer, and I'm getting into my work. You know, some days that looks like focusing on blog posts. Sometimes that looks like focusing on social media. It really helps me to single in on a certain piece of content as far as the channel that it's going to be going to. So if it's a blog post, or if it's social media, or if it's email, and kind of try to batch those. So do several emails on the same, at the same time, do several blog posts in the same sitting, so that that way my brain isn't jumping from one type of content to another. So I'll work on that, you know, in the morning, then my girls get up and we have a full day. And then when they are taking their nap, or my 4-year-old's doing some quiet time, then the nap time hustle starts, and I will pick back up content that I'm working on for that day. Or, you know, if I've finished that, then switch lanes to another piece. But again, for me, it's really important to keep the lanes going in the same direction. It's harder when you're switching from one piece of content to another, to kind of switch those gears back and forth, because the way you write for social media is going to be different than the way you write for a blog post. So if you can keep within a certain type of content, you're going to be able to produce that much faster.
Yes, I totally agree. I am all about batching. I'm with you. I like those like power hours of like, all right, for these next 2 hours, like, we're pumping out some blog posts. Because I think, to your point, recognizing, okay, this is how I'm going to structure my day. I know that there's no way I can crack open the laptop and actually do 110% while my kiddos are running around me, which I'm the same way. I'm like, it's one or the other. I'm either in like mom mode or I'm in business mode, but there's no such thing as multitasking the two, because there's no way to do both at once. And I think that's actually kind of nice, because I think, and you can probably agree to this too, my kids would much rather me give them that one-on-one attention and fully be present and just enjoy like them and what they're into and learning and going to the park or whatever. And then when they're napping or before they get up in the morning or whatever, really having like that dedicated work time. And for me, it makes me feel so much better because I'm like, okay, like this is my time to do things. I've gotten them done. Check. I've been productive. Now it's time to be a mom. And then going back to that when they're napping, I feel like we structure our days really similar. And it's honestly such a gift to be able to do that too.
It really is. And I feel like as moms, we have to become masters of time management. I mean, when I go to sit down and get some work done, I know exactly what I'm working on. I don't sit down and think, okay, I need to do this. And oh, I need to remember to do that. I mean, I have my list and I get started because I know that my time is limited that I have to dedicate to this before I'm back into mom mode. And, you know, honestly, I do not think of myself as a morning person, even though I just told you I wake up at 4:45 in the morning. But I am somebody who I know the rest of my day feels lighter for me if I get a good chunk of work done in the morning and I don't have that hanging over my head the rest of the day. I feel like I can be a more present mom when I knock some of that out first thing in the morning. And I know that during quiet time, during nap time, I can kind of just wrap up some loose ends. And then the rest of the day, I can really focus on my kids and on, you know, being in mom mode. And then honestly, by the time they go to bed, I'm shortly behind them because my day started so early. But, you know, so figuring out how to structure your day so that it works best for you, I think is really important. And something that as moms who, you know, have these work from home careers, that's something that you really need to figure out and really need to maximize your time doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny because I feel like when you tell people like, oh, I work from home or I run an online business, I think they sort of like glamorize it in their head. They're like, well, that's fabulous. Like, you must be like going out for brunch and then getting drinks with girlfriends at like happy hour. And I'm like, what? I'm like, when does the work happen? I'm like, no, that's not realistic. But at the same time, I feel like figuring out whatever works for you, like it's so funny because I'm like you, I don't consider myself a morning person, but I will wake up early to get a good jump start on my day. And it always makes me feel better. But we have a team member who's like the exact opposite. She's like my night owl, and she will like knock out some work from 8 to 10. And you do not want to see anything I've written from 8 to 10 at night because it is just riddled with errors. And I always tell her, I'm like, it's so funny to me because when my brain is mush, your brain is on fire, and we're the exact opposite. So I think figuring out what works for you, and if you're not a 4 a.m. person, that's okay. But as long as it feels right, I think that's the most important thing. So I know you mentioned you go into your days with a strategy and a to-do list. Do you have any tools that you use that helps you stay organized or be more productive that you might want to share with us?
My life pretty much lives in Asana. Asana is my brain in my computer. I mean, I put everything in there because that way I don't have to think about, you know, what I need to be doing. It is already in there. As soon as I have a task that needs to get done, it goes into Asana. And then that way, when I sit down, I have that to-do list already written out. I don't have to sit there and make a to-do list and waste time doing that. I know what tasks I need to tackle, and I know the priority that they need to be in because they have due dates on them.
I am all about a task management system. And I tell people, I'm like, it doesn't matter which one you use. Use whichever one makes sense for you, but you just need to pick one and use it. Because it really is. And I feel like it also gives you that space to breathe because you're not trying to remember those three things on your to-do list. And I'm sure you've had this before where you're like, oh, don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do this. And it just keeps popping back up in your brain because you haven't put it on the to-do list or on the calendar in Asana yet. And that is draining for your creativity and your brain power. And I think to your point, having that pop up in the back of your head while you're, you know, trying to be present as a mom can be so draining throughout the day that you're like, okay, this is not fun. So I'm with you. I brain dump everything into a task management system. And I think that is just like, it's like the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, I mean, if it is not written down, I will not remember it. Personal life or business life, it just, you know, we have 5,000 things running through our heads and 500 things that we have to try to remember, and things just get lost. They just get lost in there.
Oh my gosh, yes, this is so true. If it's not written down, it does not happen. So you are over a year into your business at this point. What advice would you give to somebody that is wanting to dive into the online world, but maybe they're not sure exactly where to start, or they're not ready to take a leap? If you could go back to your early days, that person who was thinking about starting their online business, what would you tell her?
I would tell her, as cliche as this is, don't overthink it. Figure out what services you can offer right now based off of the skills that you have and the interests that you have, and go for it. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself and invest in your business. When I look back, that's actually one of the things that I'm fairly proud of myself for, if I can toot my own horn just a little bit.
Yes, toot it away.
I was not afraid to make a financial commitment to further my business and to get this thing going. Again, knowing my personality, knowing that I tend to overthink things, having a little skin in the game financially, you know, helped with that fear of getting started. And it also helped make me feel a little bit more at ease about getting started, because I was not on my own. I had advice. I had somebody else who had already done this showing me the ropes. There's a ton of information online. You could totally pull together different resources and find this all on your own, but it's going to take you a ton of time to do that. You're probably going to find a lot of conflicting information, and it's probably just going to stall you even more. So yeah, don't be afraid to invest in a course, in a coach, in somebody who can help you and show you the ropes, show you the way to get you started and get you going even faster than you might be able to on your own.
Oh, I think that's probably the best advice I've ever heard, because I find that having a course and picking a mentor, and to your point, like, it's so easy to think like, oh, I'll just go to, you know, YouTube University or Google and I'll just figure it out myself. And people can do that, and I think that if you can, that's amazing. It just takes a lot longer. But I think it can also be really overwhelming because there's such an abundance of information out there. And I think personally, I always find it easier if I can pick one to two mentors and really just shut everything else out and stay on the path for whatever my goal is. So if your goal is to start an online business, find somebody that you connect with and who are a few steps ahead of you, and follow in that person's footsteps, because they've been there, they've done that, and chances are they want to help you get to exactly where they are today. I think that's such good advice. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned along the way since starting your online business?
I think the biggest lesson that I have learned is to just fully lean into who I am and what I want. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't be some version of yourself that you think other people want to work with. So the way I really see this playing out is, if there is a certain type of person you want to work with, let's say you really want to work with somebody who's high energy, who's really passionate about your business, but you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you're putting yourself out there as somebody who's very calm, very subdued. Don't be surprised when you're not, when you're not attracting those super high energy, highly passionate business owners, because that's not the energy that you're putting out there. What you put out is what you're going to attract. So lean into who you are and what you want to do, and find people who fit with your personality, with what you are about, what you're wanting to do. And those are going to be the best working relationships that you have.
I couldn't agree more. And I love that you said what you put out is what you attract, because I think we forget about that sometimes. But a lot of times we follow people that we feel some sort of a connection with, especially on social media. And I think that obviously plays a role into an online business, because if you're showing up online to promote your business, however you're showing up is how you're going to be connecting with your ideal customer. And a lot of times I feel like your ideal customer sees themselves in you, and that's why they'll reach out. And I feel like you do such a great job of this, of leveraging social media to attract your ideal customer. Do you have any tips and tricks around how you go about your strategy on social media? What platforms are your favorite, and how you come up with fresh content ideas and decide what to post?
Yeah, so I have a few goals around my social media content. So I want to make sure that my ideal customer knows I know what I'm talking about. So I include things like educational pieces, things that allow them to see I understand content, I understand email marketing, I understand the things that I am talking about. Another one of my goals is to have my ideal customer know that I understand them. So that's where things like posts about my own mindset journey come in. You know, I'm working with mindset coaches, so I'm open about mindset issues that I have faced, to just let them know, like, I get what you're doing and I understand why it's important, and pieces, you know, that speak to their goals and their desires. And I also want my ideal customer to know what I'm like as a person. And so I include posts that sometimes business related and sometimes they aren't. Sometimes they're just about, you know, life as a mom, because that is a huge piece of my life. And I want to give them a glimpse of what I'm like as a person. And I have found that reels are a really fun way to incorporate that piece into your marketing, into your own content marketing. A lot of the reels that I do are just that relatable kind of content. So life as a mom, life as a working mom, life as a, you know, work from home mom. And there's just so many funny pieces of audio that you can lip sync to that people will just relate to. And I think that that is such a fun way to show your personality, and people really connect with that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. And you do such a good job at it. I love watching your reels. They always crack me up. I'm like, and yes, that is my life. But to what you said, I think you do such a good job of mixing in like that educational side of your content, also establishing yourself as an authority, but then bringing that real life human connection back into it. Because at the end of the day, if you think about if the roles were reversed, if you were going to hire somebody and you're like, okay, I think this might be the right person for me, but I'm not quite sure. The first thing that we do is we stalk somebody online, right? We go to their Instagram, we go to their Facebook, we might check out their website. And we're like, okay, who is this person? And I think having a balance of those components really allows your ideal customer to, one, make sure that it's a right fit and it's in alignment for what they're looking for. But also it gives them a chance to get to know you and who you are. Because a lot of working together with people online is making sure that it's a good fit personality-wise, because that does play a huge role into how you communicate with clients and receiving workload and understanding their business too. So I just commend you for that, because I feel like you're doing such a good job of that. I know everybody's going to want to follow you online. Where can everybody find you? If somebody wants to work with you, how can they get in contact with you? Tell us all the things.
So my most active social media platform is Instagram. So you can find me there. I'm at megan.ludwick. And then my website is meganludwick.com. Trying to keep everything pretty simple for you guys. I would love to connect either on Instagram. If you want to chat in DMs, I'm an open book. Or if you want to check out my website, connect with me that way. Either option is available, and I'm looking forward to it.
Megan, I cannot thank you enough. This was so good. And I know our listeners are just going to eat this up. Everything that Megan mentioned will be in the show notes. You can go check those out. The link will be below for you. And thank you again.
I am so, so happy that we were able to do this, Amanda. It was a lot of fun.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at the Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, please do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review. Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.